Good morning. I'd like to call this City of Palm Coast City Council meeting to order. I'd like you all to join me in the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Roll call, please.
Vice Mayor Clufus.
Present.
Councilmember Branquino.
Here.
Councilmember Cuff.
Here.
Councilmember Howell.
Here.
Mayor Holland is absent.
Okay, thank you. Now we will conduct public participation. I'd like to invite anyone from the public.
Excuse me, one moment here. I think for the benefit of the people here, I know that you can't mix religion and politics, but I would ask that everybody just take a moment and keep our mayor and her daughter in your thoughts and mind. She's going through a lot right now, and that's all I ask.
I will second that, absolutely. Now, I'd like to conduct public participation. If there's anyone from the audience that would like to approach the podium, you'll have 3 minutes to speak. The timer will start after you address yourself to the council.
Hi, Kyle.
Morning.
At the last meeting, you were discussing Flower Park Drive, and it was brought up one of the things that you can do is put radar to hold the speed down. And I remember which one it was, but they said, how is it going to be monitored? And it was said that we'll have to discuss it with the sheriff. Now, point. We give the sheriff $2.some million a year for, I think, 22 deputy sheriffs for traffic control. Now, radar is traffic control. So why do we have to consult with somebody that we're paying so that he can say it's okay to use it or not okay to use them? Now, if we're paying $2 million to rent a cop, then that means we should have some authority over the deputy sheriffs that are assigned here. Now, if you want to put radar in, it should be no problem getting a couple of deputies to monitor it for 2, 3, or 4 days, whatever. So that's my ideas.
Thank you. Next speaker? No? All right, we'll close public comment. Jack, there are certain legalities that we have to go through when we place radar. Understood. All good? Perfect. All right. So, Jack, two things. First, the Flagler County Sheriff's Office are the one who has the equipment to administer the radar on Florida Park Drive. And number two, we can't automatically administer any type of traffic enforcement violation through speeding with an automated manner. There was legislation passed last year that prohibits us from doing that. But more or less, they are the professionals, and we have to consult with them on any type of matter in that type of situation. We're not going to administer ourselves. It's handled through the sheriff's office. So we'll continue to work with the sheriff to get radar speed signs placed there to try to calm traffic, but they're administered through the Flagler County Sheriff's Office. Okay, moving on. The minutes from the June 4th, 2019 business meeting and the minutes of the June 11th, 2019 workshop. Do I have a motion for approval?
Motion. I'll make that motion to approve it.
And then I'll second it.
Fair. All right. All those in favor say aye.
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 Aye. Okay. Motion passes 4-0. Presentation F2, Public Health of the Community by the Department of Health, Flagler.
Can I get it to
Hi, everyone. My name is Bob Snyder. I'm the administrator of the Department of Health, and we are working on a technical glitch here real quick, and hopefully the presentation will pop up momentarily.
If there's anyone that understands technical glitches, I can assure you I've been
Thank
there.
Thank you, Nick. We're all set. Thank you so much. Again, council members, I appreciate this opportunity to give you all an update, our 2019 update on activities with the Department of Health. I'm here with Gretchen Smith, our public information officer, and so thank you, Gretchen, for being with me today. Well, the first slide, you know, is what are we all about, and you know, what is our main goal here, and it's to promote good health, because in our opinion, good health equates to a wonderful life, and that's what our health department is all about. I'm there in the middle. We have a wonderful team of 54 health professionals, nurses, doctors, dentists, dental hygienists. This is a drone shot. Gretchen's husband, Charles, took a shot of all of us, and we are working on doing some renovations of our health department itself. We're getting a new roof today or this week, so we're all excited about that. Get those leaks to stop. So we have a great team, everyone, and they're so dedicated to making sure that health is promoted in Flagler County. In 2018, the calendar year, we touched the lives of 9,671 individuals and provided 158,000 services to Flagler County residents. We offer a very broad scope of services, and next slide, and we'll start talking about those. Prenatal care, family planning, just a word about prenatal care. You know, we don't have a birthing hospital, right, in Flagler County. So especially for future moms who are pregnant and do not have insurance or they are on Medicaid, we are their safety net. And our ARNP, Carmel Frawley, who also is a nurse practitioner, she provides that very important prenatal care before we transfer pregnant moms to one of the two large OBGYN groups in Daytona Beach. So very important service that we provide. And the outcomes, by the way, are excellent. The infant mortality rate for African-American women in Flagler County has been zero the last 2 years in a row. We're the only county out of 67 who can say that. We do have a challenge, our Hispanic pregnant moms. We do need to work on that. We need to get that infant mortality rate down, but overall we're doing much better than the state average. Of course, immunizations are very important to us, especially our children. Our WIC program is very busy. We have statewide initiatives going on called Florida Healthiest Weight and Florida Healthy Babies. We have probably one of the largest dental practices here in Flagler County. All of our children on Medicaid, we're their dental home. So we have a team of 10 dentists and hygienists that that provide clinical services every day. We average about 40 patients on any given day. We have a wonderful relationship with our Flagler schools, and we'll talk to you about those services in a minute. They happen to be our largest partner. Epidemiology, very important service that we provide. Track, investigate, and manage reportable disease outbreaks. Remember the Zika virus 3 years ago? In the year 2018, 2019, mainly the things that we were concerned about were neurovirus outbreaks, like at child care centers or maybe in one classroom or two. And we get right on that and work with the environmental health staff of the school, for example, or child care center to get people contained and out of there and get the school cleaned up. And usually we're very effective in stopping that outbreak or continued outbreak. Infectious disease surveillance, especially sexually transmitted disease, HIV, tuberculosis, hepatitis A and C. On a bit of a disappointing note, sexually transmitted disease, especially chlamydia, is up statewide compared to previous years. So we're monitoring that very carefully. Just 3 years ago, individuals with the HIV virus in our community, they're being treated by the Volusia County Health Department. So we wanted to get that closer to home. So we have about 100 patients right now with HIV that we are treating. They're in our care. And I'm happy to report that for 98.5% of them, their virus is undetectable, which is quite an accomplishment, and we're very proud of that. Of course, vital statistics, emergency preparedness. We run the special needs shelter. When we are facing a disaster like our two previous hurricanes. And then environmental health, have a very active environmental health department. We do about 900 routine inspections a year. So what's new? What's the latest service that we have initiated? Well, we're proud of this one. Diabetes self-management, education and training. Individuals with diabetes, and by the way, we do have 14% of our adult population are facing diabetes, which is more than the state average, so that's why we felt that this is a priority. So we began that service in January through instruction and classrooms and group and individual counseling to basically teach patients how to manage their disease better. And also try to help patients not become individuals with diabetes through a very robust diabetes prevention program.
That's free.
That is free, yes, absolutely. Another new service and activity is using the radio as a way to reach the public about health promotion and public health issues. Gretchen is our host and preparer of the program. It's heard every Saturday at 11:30 to noon on WNZF 94.9 FM. And every week we have health and wellness guests and share events and information health related. So thank you, Gretchen, for that. Our partnerships are critical. You are our partner, all the municipalities are, county government, Flagler Schools is our largest, of course, the hospitals, Stuart Marchman, Healthy Start, all the organizations that are represented through the Flagler Cares Coalition are right there with us trying to make a difference when it comes to public health outcomes. Partnerships are really important during emergencies. We team up with Rimfire Elementary and the staff there to run the special needs shelter for both Matthew and Irma. We took care of the most vulnerable in our community, and people who are frail elderly, people with diabetes, people on dialysis, individuals who have pretty serious physical or mental health issues and they have no place to go. It's our team of nurses, doctors, and volunteers that are there caring for them for up to 3 weeks. And we do that at the gym at Rimfire. Some 2018-19 highlights. Again, I mentioned how the school system is one of our most valued and largest partners. Our school health nurse coordinator, Stephanie, we make sure in working with school health staff that all the mandated screenings required in the state of Florida occur. And you can see the state requirement is to screen 95% of our children, and we are there anywhere between 99 and 100% for vision, hearing, scoliosis, and BMI screening. One of our dental hygienists, Jenny, We're so proud of this. We started a dental sealant program about 2 years ago where we have sealed the molars, not the mouths, but we have sealed the molars of over 1,000 children, and that is to prevent dental caries and dental disease. You'd be amazed the number of children that have seen the dentist, seen a dental professional for the first time. These are first, second, third, fourth, fifth, sixth graders, never been to a dentist. And yet, that is the important role that we play through the dental sealant program. Flu shots. Until last year, the school system used a private nonprofit company to administer flu vaccines to children and staff. And they gave the flu vaccine 2 years ago to about 550 individuals total. Well, we more than doubled that this year when we took that process over. More than 1,200 students were immunized with the flu vaccine, and we also immunized 98 staff members and teachers. So when the health department gets involved, things happen. How healthy is Flagler County? This is part two of the presentation. I think you all are aware, I've shared this before, every year the University of Wisconsin and the Robert Wood Foundation, based on 30 different measures and indicators, they rank every single county in the country against the other counties in a particular state to see where we rank as far as how healthy are we? What are we dying from? What is making us sick? And 3 years ago, Flagler County was ranked 22nd. 2 years ago, we were ranked 14th healthiest community in the state of Florida. And now we have broke the top 10, and we're now ranked number 9.
Excellent.
So we're really proud of that. And these rankings are based upon health outcomes, which is based upon measures like length of life and quality of life. And you can see we're ranked number 9. Putnam County is ranked 66th. St. John's, 8 years in a row, was the healthiest community in the state of Florida. And Volusia is ranked 46th. So health outcomes, that's a representation of how healthy are we today. And that's based upon longevity and other factors like infant mortality and premature death of individuals less than the age of 75. So you can see there at the bottom, the average male lives 77 years in Flagler and pretty much tracks with the average in Florida. And the average female lives 82 years. So ladies, what is it here with you? We got to find out what you're doing, because we got to learn from our women here is why they're living 6 years longer than us men.
When you find out, I'd like to know too.
Okie dokie, you betcha. We are ranked 9th health outcome based upon those two factors, including quality of life. So these are health factors that are more determinants of the future of our community's health. Gee, things like healthy behaviors, obviously. If you're a smoker, you are at high risk for getting lung cancer. What percent of our community is either overweight or obese? 63%. The reason why that's bracketed in green is because we do beat the state average. Clinical care, an important factor and determinant of your future health. If you're uninsured, 15% of us are in Flagler County. If you're uninsured, you're not going to be able to access probably health insurance. So again, an important factor. Another one is the ratio of to population. What is how many primary care doctors do we have and dentists? That is bracketed in red because compared to the state average, we are needing more professionals in those disciplines in Flagler County. Next, social and economic determinants. Unemployment rate, I think, is a little bit less than 3.8%, but again, if you are unemployed, most likely you're not going to have access to health insurance, and so on and so forth. So just to share some data about these health factors. Assessing and improving Flagler's health. Every 3 years, every hospital and every health department in the country are required to come together with community partners and civic leaders, and also through an online survey of which we had 900 respondents. were to get together as a group and pore over 300 data points related to the health and social services outcomes in our community. And so we just started that process in a new cycle on May the 2nd. We have about a couple more meetings to go. About 50 people have been in attendance. And we're basically going to put together a community health assessment and a community health improvement plan to identify the top health priorities in Flagler County. Now, what's popped up on the screen here are the five priorities from the last planning cycle 3 years ago. Now, although we started a new cycle and we met on May 2nd, we quickly came to the determination that the priorities are probably still going to be the same. And they are adult mental health issues, youth behavioral issues, diabetes and cardiovascular disease, the health of mothers and children under age 5, and domestic violence. So not only are we identifying these, but our partners and us are doing something about it through our Flagler Cares Coalition. Jack is involved with one issue, and that is affordable housing and homelessness that we've identified as a problem in our community. Another one is the fact that we have the highest suicide rate out of all 67 counties in the state. So through Flagler Cares and through the school system, we got together and put together a suicide prevention task force and created Flagler Lifeline to raise the awareness about our high suicide rate. Another example of action is Flagler Cares with SMA and other partners. We're able to get a $900,000 grant so that when children are in crisis in our school system with a behavioral health issue, instead of being Baker-acted, we now have resources for them in the schools to deal with that mental health crisis right then and there. Diabetes, I mentioned our diabetes self-management education and training program that we just started through the health department as examples of actions to address these priorities. Near-term initiatives and what we're going to be working on over the next year is we like to expand the dental sealant program to a fourth school. Through United Way and through Flagler Cares, we were the recipient of a grant to grow our services related to hepatitis C and providing identifying individuals with hepatitis C and providing the inoculation to stop that. I mentioned our community health assessment and community health improvement plan. We want to obtain additional funding for our diabetes program through a Blue Cross Blue Shield grant that we applied for. I seem to be constantly working on trying to find additional funding to support our health department. We are not the best funded health department in the state of Florida. And I'd love to address that issue with you some other time because I may need your help with that. And the last point, we're going to be working on this one today, debunk myths about vaccinations to increase compliance rates. We got an issue here in Flagler County. You know, on the national scale, have y'all aware of the measles outbreak in 27 states? You know, the CDC basically said in the year 2000 that measles has been eliminated in our country, eradicated. Well, that's not the case. We've had over 1,000 cases of measles identified in the last year in our country. At the local level, our problem is this. We have the second highest religious exemption rate when it comes to immunizations of school-aged children in the state of Florida. Only 92% of our kindergartners are inoculated and given vaccines for what they are required and mandated to receive, and that's because we have a contingent of individuals who are misinformed and truly need to be educated on the effectiveness and safety of vaccines. This is the 21st century, and vaccines do matter. So my team and I at the health department, we're going to be attending a workshop at the school board this afternoon at 1 o'clock, and we're going to be doing our best to educate, inform, and to bring this issue up. We need to reverse this trend of not meeting minimum state targets when it comes to inoculating and providing vaccines to our children. And unfortunately, people place a lot of stock in what they read and see on the internet, and too many minds are made up that we don't need to provide vaccinations to our children. Because what happens is their children, other children and adults, are at high risk for getting communicable disease when vaccines are not widespread in our community. So we are addressing that issue. Well, thank you so much for your attention and giving me this opportunity to address the council. Any questions?
First, I just want to say thank you very much for everything that you're doing across the entire spectrum. And a point that really hits home for me is your concerted effort on ensuring that the youth of Flagler County have proper access to dental care. That's something that they're going to have a lifelong, you know, positive repercussion from the experiences that they're having right now. So I just wanted to say 100% thank you for everything you do, and I'm especially excited about you putting these children's future first. So thank you very much.
Oh, you're very welcome.
Nice
very
to
welcome,
me.
Nick.
Just want to add that, by the way, thank you for your presentation. It was very good. A couple of things just stuck in my mind. Your theme, good health equals good life. Nothing could be more true than that.
Yep.
And then the mortality rate amongst African-American women, zero. Phenomenal. Phenomenal. That the good job that you're doing on HIV care, 98.8, even more phenomenal. So, good job at the schools. And we are right now number 9 ranking. Let's go to number 1.
At a 67, you bet.
Do it.
We're coming for you, St. John's County.
We will.
Thank you.
Council, anything else? No? Thank you very much.
You're welcome. Thank
you. Appreciate it. Thank you. Okay, moving on, we have Section G, line item 3. It is an ordinance, which is an amendment to the Grand Landings Master Plan Development, MPD, rezoning to expand the size of the MPD by 119.2 acres from 774.4 acres to 893.6 acres. Update applicant requested second continuance. Mr. Reichman?
Mr. Vice Mayor, Council, this is an ordinance of the City Council, City of Palm Coast, Florida, providing for an amendment to the official zoning map as established in Section 2.06 of the City of Palm Coast Unified Land Development Code. This is for certain real property generally located south of the Flagler County Airport, west of Seminole Woods Parkway, and east of Belterre Boulevard. It's more particularly described in the Exhibit A attached to the ordinance. This ordinance is to expand and amend the Grand Landings Master Plan Development, or MPD, agreement by rezoning 119 acres, more or less, from various Flagler County Plan Unit Development zoning categories to Grand Landings MPD, so that the expanded MPD encompasses 894 acres, more or less, and by increasing the allowed number of single-family homes within the MPD from 749 to 1,150. This ordinance provides for conflicts or severability for non-codification and provides for an effective date. Mr. Vice Mayor, Council, this public hearing this morning, its first reading, and it is quasi-judicial, is a hearing that was continued, as you may remember, from several meetings ago. So this will again be the first reading of this ordinance. It's a quasi-judicial matter. Staff, I believe, has a short presentation about the request for the applicant on today's hearing. Well, okay, then let me just state that the applicant has requested a continuance, staff has agreed and recommended that the council grant that request for a continuance.
Okay, council, any questions, concerns? Do we still need to open this up for public comment, correct?
Yes, you do.
Council, any discussion?
If I missed it, I apologize. Do we have a date certain for the proposed continuance?
We do not. We do not. It's my understanding that it'll be the. It is the intention. I do not want to speak for the applicant or for staff. It is my understanding that the applicant will be re-advertising the request, such as it comes back to this council and to the PLDRB for the next public hearing. There will be the required legal advertisements to the public and to the neighborhood for to the extent that this application comes back as is, or comes back in a different format. This will go back to the PLDRB to the extent that it comes back before it comes back to this council. So the process is taking a different direction. If the applicant wishes to make any statement to answer any or to address that question, to the extent that I did not appropriately answer it.
Good morning, Michael Shimenta for the applicant. We were here last month, and we were at the planning board some time ago. We represented to you that we would be working with the board for the HOA. As you saw in my request, after numerous attempts to identify what the board and the HOA's issues are, we have not received any feedback as of yet. And as a result, we were concerned that there would be a large swell of people here discussing things that may or may not be relevant to the rezoning, but more relevant to HOA operations. So we felt that it was in the best interest of just the process to turn it back down, give it another month to see if we can't get something from the board as to what their concerns may be. And we hope to be back here shortly, but I will tell you that the plan will change as a result of our inability to come to get any information from them. So you'll see a slightly different plan in the future, whether we shrink that or move things around, we're not sure yet. But we would appreciate just a continuance. And as your attorney said, it will go back to the planning board to review the revised plan. And we'll be back here, not only for the comprehensive plan amendment, which should be shortly, but also the rezoning. So if you would all give us this opportunity, and we will re-advertise also. So if we could ask for your approval of this continuance, we'd appreciate it.
Thank you. Bring it back to the council. Any discussion? No? Okay, so let's open this up for public comment. I'd like to invite anyone from the public that would like to comment on item G3 to approach the podium. You'll have 3 minutes to comment, and the time will start after you address the council with your name. Okay, I'll close public comment. I'd like to bring it back to this council for a motion to approve the continuance.
Make that motion to approve it.
Second.
Okay, all those in favor say aye. Aye.
Aye.
All those against say nay. Continuance passes 4-0. Okay. Moving on, resolutions, a loan resolution, H4. Resolution 2019 approving the Sixth Amendment to increase funds for a federally funded sub-grant agreement with the Florida Department of Emergency Management relating to Hurricane Irma expenses. Mr. Morton.
Thank you, Honorable Vice Mayor, Council. This is a simple resolution to increase the reimbursement funding by approximately $29,000, which will bring the total Irma reimbursement expense to just short of $3.9 million.
Good. Thank you, sir. Bring back to this council any comments or discussion? No? Okay. Open it up for public comment. Anyone who would like to speak on item H4? No? Closing public comment. I'll bring back to this council for a motion.
I'll make the motion.
Second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. All those against say nay. All right. Motion passes 4-0. Item I, the consent agenda. Consent agenda item 5, 6, 7, 8, and 9. Does the council have any discussion or matters that they would like to discuss about the consent agenda?
Make a recommendation or a motion that we accept the consent agenda.
And I'll second it.
We do need to open for public comment.
Yep.
Sorry.
If anyone from the public would like to comment on consent agenda item 5, 6, 7, 8, or 9, or would like them pulled from the consent agenda, you can approach the podium and you'll have 3 minutes to comment. Last chance? Okay. Closing.
I'll make that motion.
Fair. Closing public comment, Jack?
And I'll second it.
Fair. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. All those against? Consent agenda passes 4-0. Okay, we're moving on to item J, which is public participation. Anyone from the public can approach the podium, and you'll have 3 minutes to comment as soon as you address the council with your name.
George Mayo, Palm Coast. Having heard the discussion by the Florida Department of Health and Mr. Snyder, Dr. Snyder, I'm wondering if the they show the need of doctors in this area, and that has been told to me by many people. I wish we had more doctors. You can't get in. It takes forever to get an appointment. I know we're pro-business. We're looking to help businesses establish themselves here. We may offer incentives, whether it be tax breaks or whatever the incentive might be. Maybe we can do the same thing to entice doctors to bring their practice here and get on social media to entice doctors, maybe to help them start up a business. And again, whether it's tax breaks or whatever the council may decide, we can get on social media wherever medical colleges are and get the word out that Palm Coast is a beautiful city to live. We need doctors. Maybe we can help you establish your practice. So I was wondering if we could look into that and contact the health department, maybe in concert with them, start something like this. A doctor is basically a business, and if we're attracting businesses of high tech, a doctor is just as high tech as anybody else. So something to keep in mind. Thank you.
Thank you. Next comment, or next speaker, excuse me.
Morning, Mr. Vice Mayor, Council, Ralston Riudica. I'm the ship administrator for Flagler County. I just wanted to invite the public and also the council to the Tenants' Rights Workshop. It's next Tuesday, June 25th at 5:30 p.m. It's at the Flagler County Government Services Building, Training Room 3 on the third floor. It's the school board training room. So the training will be conducted by staff attorneys from Community Legal Services of Mid-Florida. And so this is meant to educate all of our renters on their rights and responsibilities. So again, it's free and open to the public, Tuesday, June 25th at 5:30 p.m.
Thank you. Next speaker. Okay, I'll go ahead and close public participation. Mr. Mayo, I completely concur. I think we may have an opportunity to try to synergize a bit, pardon the buzzword. I was actually planning to reach back out to Dr. Snyder to see where exactly that threshold turns from green to red to see how close to the periphery we are for having the appropriate number of doctors to patient ratio, also dentists. I saw that both were in red, so I'd intended to reach back out, but I think that's a great initiative and certainly would help take Flagler County from number 6 to number 1, take over St. John's spot, right? Okay, and also I encourage everyone to attend that meeting. I think that would be fantastic so everyone understands their rights and how they can participate in local government. Excellent. Bringing it back, let's see, item K, discussion by City Council of matters not on the agenda. Mr. Cuff?
Nothing for this meeting, Mr. Vice Mayor.
Mr. Burkino?
Nothing for this meeting either, sorry.
Mr. Howell?
Yes, I got one or two things just to bring the folks up to date. I don't let any grass grow under my feet, and in this particular scenario, I wanted you to know that the other day, there was an article in the News Journal regarding the purchase or the proposed purchase of the Volusia Mall, or whatever mall it is down there, by an aviation-oriented fellow who's from California. Well, I reached out to him, because obviously my background in aviation, and I said, hey, you didn't close on that property, let's talk. And he got back to me. I sent this little LinkedIn email to him on Sunday. Monday he got back to me, he wants to have a meeting, so I'll bring the city manager and whoever else I deem necessary. And the same thing, if you noticed a few weeks ago, about a week and a half, 2 weeks, there was an article or a presentation on WESH News about homeless housing being constructed in Sanford. I reached out to the developer there. He wants to meet with us. And so, you know, the bottom line is if we just sit and think about this stuff, it doesn't get done. I'm taking action. And hopefully we'll get some businesses here and some other good things going. That's it.
Excellent. Well, thank you for always being on the offense and making connections. That's very appreciated. You're a man of your word. I have nothing to add to this meeting, so let's move on to item L, which is discussion by City Attorney of matters not on the agenda.
Nothing further, Mr. Vice Mayor.
Fair, understood. Item M, which is discussion by City Manager of matters not on the agenda.
I do have one item. Thank you. your friend at City Hall, Palm Coast Connect, I wanted to brief council in the community. So
a snapshot of the last 1,000 cases that we looked at. We're finding that well over half of those are coming in through the our customer service cases now in total. Well over half are coming in through the website portal, and well over another third are coming in through email. So now the use of Palm Coast Connect, at least from this snapshot, is overwhelmingly the majority of cases we're receiving are coming through Palm Coast Connect. So that's a great sign, and people are using the app. They're having great results. Our tracking metrics for responding to cases are going very well. So just an encouragement and a thank you to the community for embracing Palm Coast Connect and signing up. These kinds of dashboards that we're seeing are, again, fantastic as a management tool and are helping us understand how to respond. And then on another note, your friend at City Hall has a surprise for you. So if you have a Palm Coast Connect account, and the reason we're asking you to have an account is because that's how we communicate back with you and track cases, and you make a case and ask for a Palm Coast Connect magnet, which we have a limited number of, you will get this magnet, and that will be a VIP parking pass for the July 3rd, 4th of July activities here at Central Park at Town Center. So if you don't have an account, sign up, request a magnet while they last. We'll tell you how you can come get your magnet and get your VIP parking spot for the event festivities. So thank you again, and sign up with your friend at City Hall. Thank you.
Excellent. Thank you very much. I'm glad to hear that's a good little marketing idea. I love it.
I'm sorry, I did Purple Heart. Oh, I can mention that, absolutely. We're looking at how to light up either the fountain or the back of the building for Purple Heart Day. As you know, Purple Heart is an award for those who gave a bigger sacrifice to their country. Every serviceman, we're proud of them, but Purple Heart signifies that you were injured, wounded, or gave your life for your country, you gave blood for your country. We're going to be flying the Purple Heart flag below the American flag for that day. We're going to bring forth a proclamation to the City Council recognizing Purple Heart Day. And again, we're looking at a way to either light up the fountain or the building purple in recognition and gratefulness for our Purple Heart veterans locally and nationally.
Awesome. I think that's a great use of the type of facilities that we have. I think utilizing that fountain with different colors like that would really help signify a lot of the holidays that we deserve to pay attention to.
And that's the Purple Heart National Recognition Day is August 7th. And I'm going to present the City of Palm Coast with a plaque from the organization of Purple Heart.
Excellent. I look forward to that, Jack. Okay, we need a vice mayor to propose that we adjourn this meeting. All right, we're out of here. Thank you.